everyone. Hi, Ron. Hi, crowd. How are you all? This is Troika and the Ascension Secrets of Saint Germain show. I want to thank you all for being there and listening, and for Ron and his nice lead-in. And I was just talking to the engineer a minute ago, asking him for the new password and username so I can change the show descriptions for my programs, because it says July 4th. I haven't been able to get into the website to change things till then. So I apologize if you all want to know what's going on and keep saying July 4th. That's why. So we're going to do probably two things tonight. But first I want to give the phone numbers. And I am on the BBS Fast, what do they call it? You know what it is. The Fast Chat. I'm on the Fast Chat for those that want to send messages that way. And for people that want to call in with comments or questions, the toll-free number for the United States is 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, the number you would call is 888-815-9756. So this may not sound spiritual or have anything to do with ascension initially, but I'm going to do it anyway. Tomorrow is the 30th anniversary of Elvis's death. And I want to talk a little bit about Elvis and who he really was, besides the king of rock and roll or the king of whatever, and the celebrity that we know him as. He really is someone much, much more than that, as if being Elvis was not enough. And I'm going to kind of digress and tell you, you know, I like to tell my little stories. My experience with Elvis and how this all led into me finding out more about him. I was working for... I was working for the Los Angeles Herald Examiner on the night that Elvis died. And it's now a defunct newspaper, but it used to be the number two newspaper, along with the Los Angeles Times being the number one. And what my job was at that time was to paste up the front page. I was the lead paste-up artist for the newspaper, and so I got to do the front page and all of that. And I had already created the front page. It was all done, and it was ready to be handed off to the next department, the one that makes the engraving plates that then go on the printing press. And occasionally, you know, like in the movie, stop the presses, stop the presses. Occasionally that does happen in the newspaper business. And this one hadn't quite gone to press yet, but it was about ready to. And the editor, one of the editors came running in, and he goes, Troika, stop the page. He goes, we've got a new lead story. And I went, oh, okay. So I brought the page back, and I just started stripping off the old story. And I asked him, I said, how much should I strip? He goes, the whole page. And I went, okay. So he then came in, and he started handing me the, in those days, I don't know how they do newspapers now. I guess it's all electronic, page maker or something like that, all digital. But in those days, it came out on on photo paper, and you waxed it. You put a layer of wax on the bottom so it would stick onto the page. So the editor was waxing the headline, the one that's called a 120, because it was 120-point type. And he handed it to me, and as I unrolled it and put it on the page, it said, "The king is dead." I will never forget that moment. I knew without reading anything else, I knew it was Elvis, even though Elvis was only 42 years old and not necessarily someone that we thought was going to die. I mean, it could have been, you know, the king of some country or whatever, but I just knew it was Elvis. And I was overcome with incredible emotion. I just became near hysterical. I could still work, but I was crying so profusely and very out loud, you know, and as I'm doing this. And there's moments when I kind of split into two people. I split into the third-dimensional self that's doing whatever, in this case, putting that page together and crying, And then the observer part of me that's watching and going, why are you so upset? You were never really a big Elvis fan. Why this emotion? Why this crying? Why this, feeling? So, and I was asking myself, yeah, why, I owned one Elvis record, and that was it. I saw a couple of the movies. I watched him, and listened to him on the radio because his songs were playing anyway. I was of that era. I remember the first time he was on television. I was, a little kid and watching the Ed Sullivan Show. So I started, and from that point on, from the time that he left, that Elvis has left the building for finality of this dimension, I became a very big Elvis fan. And not wearing his clothes and all of that kind of stuff, and going to Graceland. I've never been to Graceland, although I've considered it. But I started buying his music and listening to his music and feeling that I knew him. I felt like I really had a close connection to him, not as Elvis the entertainer, but as Elvis the man, who he really was, his soul. And so I, and this feeling was extremely strong. So I started delving into why, and delving, looking into the higher realms for my answers as to why this strong connection to Elvis. And what I found out is that I did know Elvis, not in this lifetime, but I knew him in Atlantis. And in Atlantis, Saint Germain was in physical form, and I was in physical form, and Elvis, whose name was not Elvis at the time, was in physical form, and the three of us, as well as many other people, were involved with the Violet Flame Healing Temple that was there in Atlantis. And people came from all over Atlantis, and Atlantis was huge. I know there's a lot of people that think, there's all these theories. Some people think Antarctica was Atlantis. Some people think that all of it's buried in between the United States and Europe, England and Europe, in the Atlantic Ocean. And other people think it's parts of South America. And, there's all these theories. Some people even think it's part of the Mayan ruins in Mexico and all. From my perspective and what I've learned and what I understand about Atlantis, my truth, my version of Atlantis is that if you're living in the United States, if you are west of the San Andreas Fault, which is, the fault line that runs through part of California, so the majority, 99.9% of the United States is west of the San Andreas Fault, you are standing on Atlantis. Atlantis was the United States. It was part that is underneath the Atlantic Ocean. It's parts of Mexico. It was a vast, vast landmass. Anyway, and there, the Violet Flame Temple was a physical thing. It was a beautiful temple. And the Violet Flame was alive and visible and in a cauldron, sort of like when they have the Olympics and they light the torch and they have the big flame burning 24 hours a day during the Olympic ceremonies. It was like that. It was in a big, beautiful container and open fire, and this violet flame would be there, and people would come, and they would be healed, and they would do prayers, and we would do ritual and ceremony, and it was a gathering place. And there were many different healers that stayed around that area, or were involved with the Violet Flame, that had various healing modalities. Some were the hands, very much like we have now. Some were the hands-on healers that just radiated energy. Some did body work and similar to massage and acupuncture and things like that. And Elvis, was one of the top healers. He was very famous, and he healed through his voice. He was a sound healer. And it wasn't so much, in those days, he sang, but he didn't sing words. It wasn't like he was an entertainer. He made, you know, songs and tones just with his voice, without words, just creating sounds. And the encoding in his voice was attuned to the higher realms so that when people heard him sing, it, without them even being conscious of what was going on, it put their body into that energetics. You know, sound is energy made audible, just like color is energy made visible. So that's why art and music are such incredible languages of their own that need no translation, because they are pure energy, pure vibration, and pure frequency. And depending on the combinations of the colors and the way they're laid out, it tells a whole story, to kind of bypasses your third dimensional mind. Your mind can't say, oh yeah, this means this, 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 and this, but your heart and your soul knows what it means. So it bypasses the little part of us. The mind is one of our smaller attributes. And the same with sound. You know, you've heard music and vocalists speaking languages that you don't understand, but yet you can still feel it. You know what the song is about without knowing the words, just by the emotion and the sensation that it creates in your body. So I'm not reading any messages right now. When I get through with my little thing, I'll turn and look and read all the messages. But keep putting them up there so I can read them all at once. So that's what Elvis did. He created these frequencies and these vibrations that really could heal people and put them into a perfect state. As you know, this is why he became Elvis Presley and came to this planet at this time. Because what we are doing right now is we're doing a rehash or a redo of the whole Atlantean energies and the whole dynamic of that time. You know, we've got the corporations and the anti-environmentalist and the anti-freedom type government people are all playing out the energies of that side of Atlantis. And then there's the light workers that are, you know, trying to become more of a divine being and all that. You know, this is the same story, the same dynamics that went on during Atlantis. And most of us were in Atlantis. So it makes perfect sense that Elvis would come back as a singer, not as a healer, though, who would have a very limited audience. I mean, I think it was, around 1956 or so that was the first recording he did, was 1956. Who would have been ready for a spiritual metaphysical toner back in 1956? Like maybe one person, maybe three, you know, very limited audience. But by being an entertainer and an extremely charismatic one, look at all the people who have heard his voice. You know, I'm not going to say everyone on the planet has heard his voice, because there's, I don't know about the third world countries, but the majority have. And he's been off stage for 30 years. He is more popular now than when he was alive. He's earning more money dead than when he was alive. And he was the king then. So he came back with the same encoding in his voice, the same tones and the same frequencies, and woke people up just by hearing his voice. didn't matter if he was singing Blue Suede Shoes or I Want You, I Need You, I Love You or his gospel songs. It was his voice and the sound and the tones in his voice that did it. So, and the reason why I became, you know, a fan or became reconnected with Elvis once he died and dropped the superstar, you know, Hollywood entertainer type image and stuff, and was back in the spirit, was because now I kind of live more in the higher realms and off the planet, even though physically I'm on the planet. So it was that connection was connected again between us. And I've had a couple of experiences where he has come to me, you know, and one time he came through me in a channeling type of thing. He's an incredible energy. He's a wonderful being, and he is healing from the other side, and he's actually channeled through quite a few people, and his message is always that of encouragement and to go for your dreams, you know. And a lot of the songs that he sang and recorded and made popular, if you go back and you listen to them with a metaphysical thought, or, you know, you will see how a lot of the lyrics are encoded with very powerful and divine, almost prayerful messages. The one that comes to mind immediately is The Wonder of You. He's singing it to God, you know, when no one else can understand me, when everything I do is wrong. You give me hope and consolation. You give me strength to carry on. I'm not going to break into song because you'll all just hang up. But anyway, not one of my talents. But and then he's, you know, then there's the cuter, lighter ones like Follow Your Dream and If I Could Dream is a great one. It's all about if I can envision it, if I can imagine it, if I desire it, then why can't my dream come true? And it's not saying, gee, you know, I tried and my dream didn't come true. It's more the rhetorical question of, well, why can't that dream come true, you know, because he knew perfectly well that it could. Okay, so that's it for Elvis. Now let me see these questions real quick. Atlanta. I have been told that I have been in Atlantis and Lemuria. How do I know it's true? Well, most of us have. Yeah, Del Rey's right. Okay, so if you feel like you've been there, you know, this is the whole thing about past lives and who was I, where have I been, what did I do. Number one, it doesn't really matter. It's only the third dimensional mind and the third dimensional ego that cares about that stuff and wants to know who I was, where I was, what I did. Most of the time, knowing that stuff is a distraction because you get caught up with, gosh, I was Cleopatra, or, you know, I was the King of England, or I was, you know, a poor downtrodden tramp, you know. You get caught up on who you were then and what that meant and all of that. And what you're doing is you're living in the past. And you're putting your energy and your concentration into something that has nothing to do with what's happening now. The only time we have in all eternity is this given moment. Nothing else exists. If you try to think about the past, it pulls you away from present time, and you're not really in the past. And if you think about the future, you know, you're kind of setting up what you want to happen, which is a good thing, but you're really not there. And where things get set up and created is in the present moment. So it's very important to just stay in present time, do what you need to do here, concentrate on who and what you are now, and becoming more and more of who and what you are. And if you feel like you have been somewhere, if you have an attachment to a certain country or a certain time period, that there's no really logical reason why, it's just something that you feel deep in your heart, that's just yourself telling you, you're telling you that, that you were there. That's why you would have that feeling and why you would have that type of connection. So, what then? Yes, that was then, this is now. You are right, Delray. So, that brings me to the real topic of tonight, which is, what is ascension? What exactly is ascension? And there's so many different definitions of this, and all of them are true to one degree or another, and there's different forms of ascension. So what I want to talk about tonight is the ascension that most of us are going to be doing collectively, the one that is the one that people are talking about. You know, like, oh, we're all going to ascend. The planet's going to ascend. It's going to be a new age. We're going into a new era. And what that one means. So what that is, what that form of ascension is really descension. I say it's descension because a lot of people think that when you ascend, and the word in itself leads you to believe that, you know, to ascend is to raise yourself higher, hot air balloons ascend up into the air. It's something that we think of as, you know, just people think that their higher self or their soul or their spirit is going to leave the body and go up someplace else. That's usually called death. What we're doing is we are ascending, in a sense, into our higher consciousness. So that part is the ascension part, but the way it's going to manifest, or the way that takes place, the descension part is that our higher self, which is in what we call the higher realms, we can't physically see it, it's not a third dimensional density, that part of us, that ascended part, that part that already is ascended into the higher realms, is going to come into our physical body. So it is going to descend from the higher realms into the third dimension, into, we are going to become the living, walking, third dimensional incorporation of our higher self, our fourth and fifth dimensional self. And when that happens, because it's a higher vibration and frequency, our physical bodies, the third-dimensional corpuscles and atoms and electrons and, you know, cells and membranes and bones and nerves and all of that of our body, is going to transform. It's going to transform into a lighter version. It's going to be a crystalline silicon body instead of a carbon-based body, which is what we are now. And that's what some of these little aches and pains and funny little things. If I can dream saying it live as a hologram, oh, how cool. Wow. You know, I've only got one regret in my life so far, and that's that I never saw Elvis Presley perform live. I really, you know, I could have a million times. But I never did, and I didn't think I wanted to till after it was too late and he was gone. Okay, so back to ascension, descension. So that's how we're going to create heaven on earth. We're not going to necessarily go up into heaven and then say, okay, now how do we bring this down to earth? Heaven is going to come, and heaven is a metaphor. You know, I don't mean it in the Judeo-Christian heaven and hell sense. I mean it in the higher realm sense. That you know, these the higher energies are going to come and be incorporated into us. And we can help that process. The process is happening. It's happening anyway. The way you can further it along for yourself and create it faster And, you know, we're all impatient. We all want it yesterday. If you're anything like me, you wanted it last week, even though you only heard about it today. So, is it Vagelis? Vagelis? Would you email me the link to it in YouTube if you know where it is? The Elvis as a hologram singing "If I Can Dream" with Celine Dion. That would be so great. I really don't know how to search for things in YouTube. I only know how to click on a link if someone sends it to me. You can find my email address on the BBS radio page for my show. It's inquiry@ascensionstgermain.com. I'd really appreciate it if you would do that. So how you can help bring it along. There's a whole bunch of ways that you can bring it. You can help yourself become your higher self sooner, help your own ascension. And to talk about all of them, you know, just wouldn't fit in an hour. So we'll just talk about one of them tonight. If I still have time, maybe we'll talk about a second one. But it's basically raising your vibration and your frequency, and there's a bajillion different ways to do that. But one of them, the one that I'm going to talk about tonight, is something that I've really never heard anyone else talk about. So I guess it is a secret. And I'm going to tell you about it. And that is to just, you know, we all are saying, you know, when I raise my frequency enough, this is what I want to do. Or when I ascend, I want to be like this, or I think it will be like this. Or, you know, there's always something that we want to do or be in the future. We think that we have to wait and do more and more things. Take another workshop, take another, class, go to another sacred site, read another book, you know, do more prayers, whatever. That we need to do all of these things in order to become that which we wish to become. In reality, you already are that which you wish to become. You've been it all along. You were that before you got here. You've just forgotten. That's part of the third dimensional game and the third dimensional veil, is that it's an illusion. We're playing an illusion here, purposely forgetting who we really are so that the game seems more real. And I'm going to say this in a very simple way, and because in truth that it's that simple. All you need to do is remember. You need to remember who you are, and if you can't remember it in the way of conjuring it up in your brain and seeing who you were, which is not going to happen because your brain is a third-dimensional organ that's only for this body at this time. So, you know, I'm being kind of funny when I say if you can't remember, because it's very hard to remember. So what you do is that you accept and allow and acknowledge this about yourself, that you already are an ascended master. You already are a very high-dimensional, gifted, talented, pure, divine being. And just think about that every single day. Make it more of your daily reality that that's who you are. You know, I'm going to just pick the name Susan out of the ethers to use as an example. Anyone who's really named Susan that's listening to this, this is not directed personally to you. I'm just picking a name, you know, like C. Dick and Jane books. I'm picking the name Susan to use as an example. So here Susan is. She's the representative of all of us going through the same stuff we all do. She's on a path. She wants to become enlightened. She wants to be her higher self. She wants to grow and advance. But she still thinks of herself as little Susan on the third dimension that is not any of this stuff yet that aspires to be. So what Susan can do to help herself is connect in with that higher self of herself, or imagine, think, make up what her higher self is, who her higher self is, what her higher self can do. The higher self is perfect. The higher self has no bad habits. The higher self has no emotional baggage. The higher self knows the perfect guidance and the perfect thing to do at all times. And think of herself as that higher self, not as Susan, third dimensional Susan. And one thing that's kind of helpful to bring this along is to give your higher self a different name, a name other than Susan. Or what I do is I think of my third dimensional self as Troika without a capital T, just all lowercase letters. And then I think of the higher self part of me as Troika with a capital T, you know, and that's the distinction that I make in my mind. So when I'm feeling, you know, kind of downtrodden and discouraged and, you know, why can't I do this and why can't I do that and, you know, this didn't work the way I wanted it to, and I get into that kind of third dimensional depression or grumbling or, you know, feeling disempowered, you know, that is definitely the lowercase Troika. So I switch into, I go, well, wait a minute, I can be the capital T Troika. What would the capital T Troika do in this situation? You know, what would I do with this situation and this, or this problem or this thought, if I was my higher self? The minute you think that, the answer is so abundantly clear to you what you would do. It's kind of a takeoff of the what would Jesus do stuff that the Christians are doing. But they're not, you know, they're kind of tapping on to that idea of it, but as usual, they didn't take it to the correct degree. So it's, instead of saying, gee, what would Jesus do, again, putting it outside of themselves in an abstract concept, they should think more like, if I were Jesus, what would I do, and bring it into themselves. So that's what this really powerful way of becoming your higher self sooner is to start identifying yourself as that of which you wish to be, of which you already are. So, do you know what I mean? Did you get this? Somebody answer me. Oh, there's the link. Thank you. Now I have to... Will it work? Yes. There. Okay. I'll look at it later. I have the sound down, so it won't come through, darn it. So yeah, just, you know, as you're walking through the supermarket or through, you know, anywhere you go in life, think that, gee, my higher self, I am my higher self. You know, walk like your higher self would walk. These are like little tricks that will bring more of that energy into you. And as time goes on, and the more you can think about that, the more you can keep that foremost in your mind, that you are this ascended being, that you are an ascended master walking on the earth, the more you will become that. You know, what we think about ourselves is probably much more important in creating our reality than things that you learn in The Secret. The movie The Secret and that whole concept is just a little tip of the iceberg of what that's all about. Everyone sees the movie and they think, oh, I've got it now, I've got the secret. No, you got a little crumb of the secret. The rest of the cake is still, you know, in the cupboard somewhere. This is more of the rest of the cake. With The Secret, you know, you think about what you want. You think in terms of the positive. You think about what you want as opposed to what you don't want. That's very important, and it's very true, and it's very logical. But if you deep down, if your core issues about yourself are that you are powerless and you don't deserve any money and you don't deserve a nice house and nobody's ever going to love you, and you know, and you're thinking all these kind of low self-esteem type of things, even if you're not thinking them consciously at the time, that means, you know, if you've just buried those thoughts about yourself and they're kind of like a tape running in the background with the sound turned low, but they're still there. And if that's your core belief about yourself, if you really believe that consciously or subconsciously, you can dream about as many millions as you want. It's not going to come to you because the overriding, stronger thought and emotion and reality creator is your thought about whether you deserve that or not. So by focusing more on being who you really are and breaking the barriers of the third dimensional body, I mean, it's almost like a superhero movie, you know, where there's the little, what's his name? Clark Kent, you know. Clark Kent's walking around, he's got his head down, his shoulders are down, he's got his nerdy attitude, and he can never get the girl, and he's just, you know, a schlump. But boy, there's a crisis. He runs into that telephone booth, rips off his clothes, and underneath, you know, is the suit with the big S on it. And what happens? His whole posture changes. His whole physique changes. He becomes Superman. And that's a good analogy of who we are and what's going on with us. You know, we're that little lowercase name, you know, in our little third-dimensional bodies. But inside of us, we've got the big suit with the S, too, or maybe an H for higher self, you know. And as you think more and more about that's who you are, it's almost like ripping the clothes off, the third-dimensional clothes off, and having, you know, the higher self emerge and be that. So, okay. So I'm reading the board. So that's something that, you know, try that. Try putting it into action. See how that works. See how that feels for you. And I think if you just do that and continue with the violet flame, and we will do another violet flame thing. Oh, I've got the violet flame invocation on my website now. So when you go to ascensionstgermain.com, on the left-hand side of the page where the menu bar is, the first section is products, the second section is information. Right, the number one link on the information section, it now says download in sort of a hot pink kind of color, and then it says violet flame invocation. If you click on that, you will get a Word doc that you can print out, and it has the diagrams of the four steps of the violet flame invocation, and it has the process of bringing the flame into yourself, then surrounding yourself in the flame, then asking for the transmutation, and then filling yourself with light. And it has the example words. You don't have to use the words that I use. It's more important to say what's in your heart, as long as you have those four steps committed to, you know, to your memory, and so you know what the steps are, then just fill in the words that have meaning for you at the moment. And that will be very effective. So the reason why you do the violet flame invocation or meditation, if you want to call it meditation instead, is the violet flame transmutes things. It is it is the same action as Superman, as Clark Kent ripping off the nerdy clothes and becoming Superman. It takes negative energy, lower vibrational energy, stuck energy, and transmutes it into something better. It doesn't just take away negativity, it turns it into something very positive. So it's very powerful and a wonderful tool, and one that's free and easy to do. And once you start getting into the habit of it, you know, in the beginning you might have to remind yourself, oh gosh, I got to do the violet flame thing. And so, but just, you know, if you just develop a habit for you, just develop a time of day when it's real easy for you to remember to do it. You know, habits are built by repetition and by desire. If you want to add something to your life, like add an exercise program or start, you know, taking supplements or start doing meditation or whatever, you have to create the space for it in your life. And it's the same with violet flame. You know, you need to create the space and the time to do it. The great thing is it only takes a minute or two, so it's quite easy to find time for it. What will really assure a success for you in creating that time is to be real habitual. I've made it real easy for myself. As you can tell, I'm kind of lazy, like the easy way to spirituality, although I've spent many years doing the hard part. That's why now I embrace the easy part. No more kamikaze school of spirituality for me. I've fire walked. I've jumped off of bridges. I've done, I've done 24 hours of chanting in the same position on my knees, you know, for days on end. I mean, I've done it all. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be complex. It doesn't have to be difficult. The truth is very easy, and connecting with God is very easy. It's very direct. It's very natural. It's the little third-dimensional humans and our little pea brains that think everything has to be difficult and has to be complicated and has to be filled with drama and trauma and contortions and all kinds of things, when in reality it's very easy and very simple. So what I do with the violet flame, for the violet flame thing, is I do it first thing in the morning when I wake up, and I do it last thing as I go to bed. So I'm doing it twice a day, and there's no distractions. I do it. I don't even get out of bed to do it. It's like as soon as I wake up and I'm through kind of playing with my dreams and remembering them and doing the lucid dreaming bit and stuff, and I get to the point where I'm ready to really open my eyes, I do it then. And I do it before I even get out of bed, because once I get out of bed, stuff happens, you know. You have to go to the bathroom, the dogs want to go out, the phone rings, you know. Oh, I'll just see what my email says. Before you know it, it's 6 o'clock in the evening, you haven't done your violet flame thing. So I do it just right in the morning. And then when the day's all done and everything's quiet and over with and I start to go to bed, I'll just do it right then and there. Sort of like the little kids kneeling by their bed and saying that, now I lay me down to sleep prayer. I just do the violet flame invocation. So you ready to do it? Let's do it. Okay, so the four steps are: bring the violet flame into your physical body and have it go through your whole body. Then the second step, once you really, you know, once you've set it up in your mind in your consciousness that the violet flame is in your body, then you're going to bring it out and surround your body, encompassing your emotional body, your mental body, your physical body, and your spiritual body. Then, so you're at this point now, you're sitting in a huge egg of a violet flame, and it's also inside you. Then step three is to ask the violet flame to transmute that which you want transmuted, all negativity, all misspent energy, all negative emotions, you know, karma, whatever, and And then the fourth step, after all that's transmuted and there's like little, all the little gookies now are floating up out of you and out of your aura, you transmute the gookies and turn the negativity that you've just eliminated from yourself into something really, really good. Otherwise, you know, you got little negatives floating around that'll go find somebody else to attach to, and your aura is now like Swiss cheese. You've got all these holes in it where the negative stuff used to be, and anything can jump in and fill that in. Be the master. You are the master. Tell what you want to fill your body and make it something really good. I use the golden light of the Christ consciousness energy. You can use the pink ray. You can use the blue ray. You can put in the entire rainbow. You can put in, you know, every color that there is that's, you know, from the higher realms. You can, if you don't want to work with color, you can bring in qualities. You can ask for peace, love, abundance, perfect health, you know, to now fill you and stuff. Okay, so we've only got 9 minutes and probably don't need that long, but let's do it because a couple of times I get cut off doing this. So, everybody just kind of center yourself. Let's take three breaths to center ourselves and focus. And breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. So breathe in and out. And in, and out, and in, and out. And start your visualization as I say these words. Mighty I Am Presence, beloved God, my heavenly source, please make manifest in me now the sacred violet flame of transmutation. Bring the violet flame into every cell, molecule, an atom of my body, filling me totally and completely. Blessed violet flame, blaze into my heart and expand out and around all of my bodies, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, surrounding my entire being with your divine grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness. Transmute all karma, negative thoughts, actions, deeds, and energy that I have ever created at any time, in all dimensions, on all levels, in all bodies, through all time and space, past, present, and future, for all eternity. Transmute anything and everything that stands in my way of embodying the ascended Christ being that I am. Beloved violet flame, turn all that has been transmuted into the golden light of God, the Christ consciousness, the light of God that never fails. Send this golden light to me now, filling and surrounding my entire body with its divine radiance, raising my vibration and frequency to the highest level possible for me at this time. So be it, and so it is. Thank you, God. Amen. Well, now I'm so mellow I don't feel like talking. I've got another 6 minutes. So, I'm sure that you can feel, if you did that along with me, I'm sure that you can feel a shift in your consciousness and a shift in how your whole body feels. You probably feel a lot lighter and a lot clearer and yet very grounded. And this is totally customizable. This is the words that you're going to get off of the website when you download it. But just take them as a suggestion. The one thing that I failed to mention in the beginning before we did it that is real important to add in there, especially after all of our talk about forget the past and the future hasn't happened yet and we only have now, but if you'll notice that in this, when we're asking what should be transmuted, I do say in all dimensions, on all levels, in all bodies, through all time and space, past, present, and future, because that covers then parallel universes and life in other dimensions. You know, we're multidimensional beings. We're not just who we are right now. Susan is not just Susan. You know, we all have probably thousands and thousands of parts of us that are somewhere having a life on one dimension or another, in different star systems, in different, we might each have a reptilian life, you know, form. We might have beyond the planet Sirius and in the Pleiades all simultaneously. You know, we meet each other, we meet ourselves coming and going because there are so many of us. So when you incorporate that little catch-all of all the dimensions and all the bodies, you're clearing all aspects of yourself, all aspects that have ever been, all aspects that are currently now, and into the future. Time is eternal. There is no time. Only on this planet is there the concept of time. So you can reach the future by your thoughts and your actions and your intention now, and clear the future before you even get there, because it's all simultaneous, except to our third dimensional brain. So I hope that helps everyone, and that you will develop a habit of saying, of using this violet flame as much as possible. And you can also violet flame the entire planet and do great service to the world. So after you have violet flamed yourself, always do yourself first so that you're in a really good state. Then you can visualize the planet, or if you really want to visualize it, you know, have a globe or one of those little all purpley again. You're so cute. And you know, a little kid's toy. I've got one of those blow up beach balls that looks like it's the planet Earth. And when people come to my house and we're doing violet flame work for the planet, we put the beach ball in the center of the circle, so we all have a focal point to look at. And you've got the planet there, either a physical representation of it or just a picture of it in your mind. And call in the violet flame. Ask the violet flame to surround the planet, to enter into the planet and surround it, just like you have it enter into your body and surround your body. And then ask the violet flame to transmute, you know, any and all. When you're doing the planet, you have to be a little bit careful because of people's free will. So you can't say transmute anything and everything, because some people aren't ready to let go of their stuff yet. They haven't learned what they need to learn from it, and we don't want to deprive them of their lessons. And we don't really have the right to do that anyway. So when I'm doing the planet, what I say is, please transmute anything, all negativity and all, you know, karma, all war, all, you know, whatever, that is ready to be released at this time. And then you ask the violet flame to transmute those things. And then I fill the planet with the golden light of the Christ consciousness, but also the pink ray of unconditional love. This planet needs an awful lot of love. And this is a wonderful way to bring it in. And I have less than a minute. I could sing the minute waltz now. I have just a minute. Never mind. My frustrated days of show business, I guess, are coming back to me. Anyway, thank you all for listening. And tune in again next week. I'm not sure what we'll talk about, but what to talk about seems to be coming to me like the day before. And get your violet flames, violet flame the planet. Be your higher self. You don't have to wait. You already are. Just recognize it. Just embrace it. Just to allow it to happen. and be your higher self now. And violet blessings to you from now until next week. Thank you. Bye.